AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show, 435. If you haven't seen it, Patrick, I want to actually encourage you. Jordan Klepper from The Daily Show, who has been the guy that they have sent into these Trump rallies, was at the event. And, you know, there is an amazing line between comedy and the reality that goes on there. And you realize that, I mean, he clearly sees something really horrible is going on. He does the best he can. It's good to see something. It's good to laugh, especially as dark as it's been. And you know, in Jordan Klepper, my goodness, the bravery he has just to go into that crowd, I think, at times is pretty astounding. But I think that anyone that takes time to try to make things happy and bright when things are dark are really actually great people. And that is why it's my pleasure to welcome back to the show Trace Beaulieu, of course, from Mystery Science Theater 3000. He's been on the show with us about 20 times because we've talked about the comedy he does, of course. Mystery Science Theater 3000, he was Dr. Clayton Forrester. The Mads are back. They are doing a Night of Shorts 2 tonight, 7 p.m. local time with Eventbrite. I'll get all that stuff out a little bit later on. Trace, thank you very much. I appreciate the time, my friend.
Hey, Matt, it's great to be back. Hope everyone's well and happy there, and it's a new year, so let's watch some shorts.
Well, and you are, of course, you are usually headquartered over by the St. Croix River. I always, when I look at, like, the map before we get to the attempted overthrow of the government, I look at the pandemic. They say that in, like, the metro area, the worst area is by Wisconsin. You know, how has it been for you? I mean, have you had higher numbers around that way?
You know, I'm not sure. I never leave the house. I had to ask my wife the other day. I said, when's the last time I was at the end of our driveway? And, you know, or we went someplace in the car. Mm-hmm. Or have I bathed? Did I bathe yet? I don't remember. I keep a very low profile. So I hope everybody's okay.
Do you ever look across the river into Wisconsin and you're like, oh my God, look at those people, what they're doing now?
They're great neighbors. How diplomatic am I being? They've got some good beer over there.
And yeah.
There's some of that Wisconsin beer they don't sell in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to. But it's been, oh man, I can't remember the last time I went over there to get a beer. I can look at it for out the window, but it's just trees. It's just trees and cheese. I love Wisconsin. They're great people. Seriously. Enjoy the veal.
When you do this, okay, so when you're doing this riff, are you with Frank, or are you all in your own little booths, on your own little in your own little homes, or whatever?
That's what we're doing, and we're doing the Zoom thing, like everyone has discovered this year. Frank's in Manhattan; he's on the upper East Side, I think, of Manhattan, back in his old childhood neighborhood, and I'm out here on the river, and through the miracle of some technology that was developed at the World's Fair 100 years ago, I think we can talk now on picture phone. Although, you know, picture phone still sucks. It's Zoom has zoomed past it.
Oh, it has, and it's so funny how in our lifetimes, yours and mine, we've gone from the Ma Bell telephone company, where if you called St. Paul from Minneapolis, it was a $9 call, to to a point now where we always, like, I remember the first few times I did like a Zoom call or a Skype call, and I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And now it's like, oh God, they want to see my face anymore. It really is amazing how we have turned on it already.
I know. I don't like the Zoom thing because I like the anonymity of a phone call. At least, you know, I can be in pajamas or something. It's a little too personal. It's like going to work. I got to show up on time and look okay.
I got to make sure I don't stand up because let's just face it. Most people, when they sit down in that chair, do not plan on getting up. So they're wearing shorts or they're not wearing pants. And, you know, it's only occasionally a certain, you know, you know, cable TV news guy will do it. But the reality is, yeah. is that, you know, you do have to kind of make – I did C-SPAN on New Year's Day. I know. Huge audience. New Year's Day morning, I should say. I did C-SPAN, and I did the same thing. I mean, I was wearing shorts, but, I looked at least presentable from the waist up.
Yeah, that's all you need. You know, C-SPAN, C-SPAN is going to be like HBO now. It's like Game of Thrones, yawn. Let's watch C-SPAN. That's where the action is.
I was watching C-SPAN on especially the night of the 6th because, I mean, all of a sudden it was, you know, I couldn't trust, I mean, nothing in CNN and MSNBC, but, I mean, I wanted to watch as especially the people who were coming in the House were so, you know, I don't care that they tried to burn the place down 20 minutes ago. I'm still going to protest. I'm like, really? Wow. That is amazing to watch.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't protest much. We do quiet protests by yelling at movies that were made before we were born.
Well, and that's the way to do it. I mean, because you do it, and you're doing, let's be honest with you, when you do the shorts, I mean, you guys started doing these as part of obviously a bit of filler to get into the full show length when you were on MST3K. But, I mean, reality is the greatest thing you ever did, hands down, in my opinion, is the home economics short at Iowa State. Oh, my God. There is still today, it holds up brilliantly today. It's still 20 minutes of the funniest damn thing I've seen in my life. It is brilliant beyond brilliant. These shorts are so great to rip on because they take themselves so seriously.
You know, they really do. And that's what's fun to kind of tilt at. And it seems, you know, we chose this group. There's about 7 shorts we're doing tonight. We chose them a few weeks ago, and it's amazing how timely they all are, you know, because we're all learning things about ourselves and society in all of these short educational films. Very timely. The only one that's not timely, and this is one of my favorites because I've been looking for this forever, it's Blasting Cap Danger. Because during, like, the boom of the 60s and 50s, there was a lot of dynamite being used in neighborhoods, apparently. So there's blasting caps just strewn about playgrounds and parkways. And they put it on these kids to, like, hey, watch out for these things because they're really dangerous. But they failed to, like, you know, put the guys who were responsible for them.
As opposed to make the movie, you'd think, hey, guys, clean up your sight a little bit. They make
They're as dangerous as dynamite. It's like, well, then maybe you should have been more careful with.
Hey, Bob, did you have the box of blasting caps? I didn't have them.
I grew up watching these PSAs, and it's like, wow, I hope we can find some of those because those are cool.
A lot of those were movies you'd get in, you know, just to fill time in school. I always remember I've always waited for you guys to do like the Harvester Silo infomercials they used to do before Justice League would come on ABC. It was like 6 o'clock. It was all ag programming back in the day. And it was like, if I wanted a blue silo, I mean, and it looked like a fine silo. I mean, the advertising does work. I want one to still today, but you know,
you have silo envy.
You know, I do. But you know, when you got quality steel like they were using in the Harvester Silo, that's just, you know, it, and it stands out because it's blue.
Hey, you remember it.
Yes, I do.
So that advertising worked.
I want to mention Mary Jo Peel is going to be joining you. Obviously she's going to be, is she coming in? Is she down in Texas still?
No, she is back here in one of the northern tier suburbs, somewhere around in, you know, coming from Hopkins myself, I have no idea. That's like, you know, there be dragons, you know, beyond this point, you know. Once you get past Crystal, I have no idea. Then Brainerd, I think, is the next one.
It's like a Lord of the Rings map. There's Mordor, and we have no idea what the hell's past that. There's something out there.
I know if you're halfway to Mordor, you can get good caramel rolls if you're on 35.
Well, Mordor, it's a convenient drive. I mean, now it's better. They got a Fleet Farm there now, too.
It's like, hey, we can get some shoes. Yeah, that's right. Mary Jo's joining us for the Q&A after our show. As Frank and I wind down, you know, in the green room, Mary Jo will come in. And then you can, throughout the show tonight, you can text questions. I guess that's how it works now. You can text in, and we'll try to answer as many of those questions as we can after the films.
You've had brought in guests before, Jonah Ray from the latest launch of MST3K, J. Elvis Weinstein, I'm one of my favorites. We had him on the show numerous times. How often do you get a chat with Mary? Is it something that, that you guys were such a nucleus, but you kind of all went off? You and Frank are together. You did Cinematic Titanic for a while. Do you stay in touch on a regular basis?
You know, we try to. The last time I talked to Mary Jo, we were doing a show in San Francisco. We were doing Sketchfest, and that's almost a year ago. But I did see online she was looking for some prop telephones to bring it all back to Ma Bell. And I had a couple, so I showed her my old, you know, push-button Bell telephone, hammer and nail with it telephone. And she rejected my phone offer. She said, no, not coming out there.
Trace Beaulieu is joining us, of course, Mr. Science 3000. You know movies. One of the things, if you don't mind me asking something about movies, since the last time you and I talked, I think we talked in October or so, they came out with the announcement Wonder Woman was going to go to HBO Max. And you and I have talked about it. It's like, okay, yeah, you can put it on Netflix or HBO Max or Amazon Prime or wherever. But the reality is people want to go to the movie theaters. The problem with that is I did watch The Wonder Woman. And
I have not seen it.
Okay.
It's already spoiled.
Well,
so don't worry.
Okay. Well, I will say this. Is it the best film? Well, not really. There's some problems with it. I could see, you know, maybe your great-grandkids doing a riff on it eventually. But the problem is that, and I think this is one thing you and I never considered, is that if the movies aren't good and they go to streaming services, what you almost start to reinforce is the idea of, well, thank God I didn't go spend $50 on that at a movie theater. Thank God I just had to get the HBO Max. And the problem then becomes, I mean, and there are good movies coming on out that people want to see. But the reality is if the really bad movies are the ones we start seeing on the streaming services, I think it actually might do more damage to the movie theaters.
You might be right. It also, I think, damage to the platforms, because there's so much content, like on Netflix. I was reading an article the other day about George Clooney's new movie, which I did see, and I think I'm still watching it. It's a meh. You know, it's like all the other videos that are video. How old are you, Methuselah? You know, like all the other sci-fi things that are on Netflix, it's like they're all kind of ho-hum, you know, good effort, nice effort, team. But, I think we have to go back to good movies. They can't be these tentpole spectacular things. You know, seek out the small stuff and the stuff that, you know, it's kind of like going back to, and I think we talked about this, about trading, you know, records. Here's an album I love. Here's a group I love. I'll turn you on to these guys. I think we have to rely on each other to point out the good stuff.
But you would always have that friend that would come to you with New Kids on the Block or a Bay City Rollers, and you're like, what are you hearing in here?
Yes.
And
those kids are now riffing movies.
I agree with that. I mean, when you're talking about the George Clooney movie, you're talking about the one that takes place up in the Arctic when he's up there?
Yes. Midnight Sky? Yes, Midnight Sky.
Your assessment of it is, I think it's perfect. It is a sensational made-for-TV movie. It would be a made-for-TV movie event. But it pales. It's just missing that to make it a theatrical release. I mean, it's good. I thought it was enjoyable. It was a nice little twist. But I think at the end of it, this was like a Saturday night ABC movie of the week.
Yeah, it had that kind of, like, it doesn't really matter. you know, I could watch it or not, and I guess it's not that great, or it, maybe it's good. It just, yeah, it, I was expecting more for, you know, and maybe I should just lower my expectations, and just, then every day is special.
No, you shouldn't. I mean, you got with Mike, I was just thinking about Michael Clayton, that Clooney film. I mean, that film is phenomenal.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's hit and miss. You know, a movie I will recommend because it takes place in Norway during World War II. It's called The 13th Man. It's about these saboteurs who get caught and, you know, mayhem ensues. But it's the guy who gets away, and he swims a fjord. And the cinematography is absolutely gorgeous in this film. I think it's on Prime right now, and it's subtitled. So if you don't mind doing a little work, a terrific movie that I had never heard about. You know, I'm looking around for something good. And this is a famous Norwegian war hero. Just really interesting story, and I didn't know anything about it before. And it's sort of like The Revenant, you know, like,
yeah.
Oh, I got up and it's like below zero today. Yeah, but it's not The Revenant.
13th Man, you said 13th Man?
I think that's, 13th Man.
13th Man, I will.
Or 12th Man. I upgraded him. What did I do? It's to the 12th Man.
They did it like the Ocean series. Yes. 12th Man. All right, I'm going to find that. I trust you. I trust your judgment more than others because, like everyone, why Trace is here, he watches the bad stuff so you don't have to, and then he riffs on it. Tonight, A Night of Shorts, and I want to make sure I put this out. Eventbrite is putting this out. Eventbrite.com, if you go A Night of Shorts with the Mads, it will find it on Eventbrite.com. It starts at 7 o'clock tonight?
It does. Uh-huh. 7 o'clock Central, other times, other places.
All righty. And of course, once again, Mary Jo's going to join with Frank and Trace. So by all means, and at this point, please, people, just go laugh. At 7 o'clock tonight, stop what you're doing. Go to Eventbrite. Get the stream on this. The shorts are the funniest. Because they are so intent. And so they're easy to rip on. And the Mads are as good as ever. So the Mads are back once again. Night of Shorts 2 tonight, 7 o'clock. We do need to mention the money goes to who again?
Food shelf. Where are my notes?
I got it here too. There it is. I think Friends in Need Food Shelf.
Yes,
Friends in Need Food Shelf.
Yeah.
All right.
People need to help each other right now more than ever. So come and laugh, and your money's going to a good cause.
Trace Beaulieu. Trace, thank you very much. All my best.
Thank you, Matt.
Come back anytime, please, sir.
Oh, I'd love to. And keep taking those hikes and posting them on Facebook.
I will. Thank you very much. Trace Beaulieu, kind enough to join us once again tonight. Eventbrite is the place. It's a Night of the Shorts, Night of Shorts 2 with Trace, Frank, Mary Jo. Eventbrite, 7 o'clock start time. Go enjoy. Get a laugh in because, let's face it, for the next 2 weeks, we're all going to need as many times to stop and laugh as we need. So thank you very much, Trace. We'll take a break, wrap up the first hour. When we come back, it's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.